Welcome to Great Australian Lives.
For Tobin Brothers Funerals,
celebrating lives. Here's your host, Laura Turner.
Well, hello and welcome to another special edition of Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. I'm Laura Turner. Well, tonight's guests are two people who are leading the way in making sure Australians never go hungry. They notice the tons and tons of good quality food that we throw out in this country and decided to take action. They're rescuing food and rehoming it, if you like, feeding hungry mouths and making a difference at the same time. And now, right now, they couldn't be more needed. It is my pleasure to welcome to Great Australian Lives, Ian and Simone Carson from Second Bite. How are you two?
Hi, Laura.
Absolutely fantastic. Great to be on the program.
It's so good to have you here. Now, many of our listeners might be familiar with Second Bite. They might have seen the Second Bite vans driving around Melbourne. I've seen the buildings. I've certainly have some dealings with it myself through the media over the years. But for those who haven't heard of your wonderful organisation, Ian, can you give us a bit of a description in a nutshell? What's Second Bite's purpose?
So Second Bite has two purposes. One is to save food, and the other one is to end hunger. So saving food to end hunger. And what Second Bite does is it collects food from many, many places where there are surpluses, such as markets and supermarkets like Coles and Woolies, and as well growers. So anywhere where there's quantities of surplus food, Second Bite will be there with its volunteers to collect that food, and then Second Bite takes it to existing agencies that feed people in need, such as the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, Mary's House of Welcome, 1,200 agencies right around Australia, in every town and community in Australia, to feed people who are in need, from single mothers to people who are disadvantaged to homeless people.
You know, it's about ending waste and ending hunger. It's a bridge between the 3 million tons of food that's wasted and vulnerable Australians who are struggling to have access to fresh, nutritious food.
Absolutely, and that is such a huge amount of food that does go to waste. I feel shocking every night when I, you know, scrape the plates or stuff that doesn't get eaten. It still sits, you know, in the fridge and I have to throw it away because it's expired, and that's just my little home. I can imagine that would be happening right all over, you know, Australia and the world, really. We're gonna talk about the humble beginnings of Second Bite in just a moment. But Simone, at the moment, obviously, we're in the middle of a global pandemic, a recession. I can imagine that the charities you deal with would need you more than ever right now. What are you hearing from them?
It's an interesting and challenging time for everyone, and for the not-for-profits have their own particular issues. So I'll just tell you a little bit about what's been happening. So in the very beginning, it was extremely busy. As an organisation, you know, we had to adapt to the basics of hygiene and social distancing. And like all not-for-profits, or most not-for-profits, we rely on volunteers. We lost our volunteer network. We lost a lot of the agencies that we deliver food to, lost their volunteer network, which meant many of them closed down or had to adapt their services. In some states, there's up to a 50% decline, and now most have recovered, but there was a decline in the number of agencies that we could take food to. We got a reasonable amount of quite a lot of support, and we're very grateful for the support from government, as did other food rescue organisations, and that allowed us to look at ways and to start delivering more food to some of the bigger agencies that were able to create different programs to still get the food to where it needed to go. By the end of March, we had recovered, and we started to notice that actually the agencies weren't seeing such a huge demand in the traditional sense, because JobKeeper had come in and they weren't seeing the demand that they were expecting. There's still a lot of people doing it very hard, but everyone in this world, our world as a not-for-profit and in the food rescue organisation, is very nervous about what's going to happen in September when the recession... Well, we're in a recession. The government's using that word now. And when there's a greater stress put on the communities. What Second Bite was doing a lot of at during that time when the demand wasn't as much as we anticipated, that we looked at the area, the people that were perhaps not covered in the traditional sense, and they were the students, the overseas students. The other group that we were looking at, particularly were those on particular visas that didn't allow them to access support, and the bushfires, because we'd already been working in the areas of the bushfires. And I don't know if you know about this, but those areas are really, some of them are really doing it hard now because they haven't been able to recover in the way that they hoped they would be able to.
There's no tourism.
So we've been getting, yeah, exactly. So we've been trying to get food as much as we can, you know, good, nutritious, fresh produce to those areas in particular.
There's that figure that 5 million people in Australia experience food insecurity at least once in the course of a year. What does food insecurity mean? Does that mean that their cupboards are bare, or does it mean they're living sort of paycheck to paycheck and unsure as to whether they'll eat every meal in the next week? What does it mean?
It means both. What it means is that they don't have regular, secure access, regular access to fresh or to food, any food. We believe that they should, everyone should have access to fresh, nutritious food, but there are many, many people who are living check to check, and by the time they pay their utility bills, someone in the family is doing without food so that a couple of them can have, some of the members of the family can have access to the food. It might mean that they send their children to school hoping that they'll have meals provided at the school. It might mean that as parents, they go without meals and there's one meal a day. It might mean that they go and access food relief during the day while their kids are at school. There's a lot of people finding it really worth... They were finding it difficult before. We were noticing an increase and a change in the type of people that were turning up at the agencies and looking for food relief because of the rising cost of living, the rising cost of utilities.
As you just mentioned, a different type of people that are turning up. I don't want to use the word embarrassing, but I can imagine those who've not needed this sort of assistance before might take a while for them to reach out and ask for that help.
I think this is something that we're all talking about. The agencies themselves are very conscious of it. As part of that community, we talk about it in our board meetings and at our strategy meetings as well. There's definitely a group of people who have never had to access support from the government or access food relief before. First of all, they may not know how you go about doing that. Then secondly, there's a huge sense of stress and anxiety around that they might feel that they're a failure, that they've always been able to provide for themselves in budget and take care of their families, and now because of the job losses and have eaten up all their savings during the last few months, things are really hard, really tough for a lot of people.
Ian, can I ask you, if someone is listening now that might you know, be feeling that they do need to reach out to an organisation like Second Bite, how do you go about doing it?
It really just starts in your local community. It's just a matter of Googling what is a local support agency. So it might be the local church. It might be the local Salvation Army. I've spent a lot of time, you know, with Brendan Nottle at the Salvation Army in Bourke Street, 69 Bourke Street. And, you know, the warmth and the care of the people there and the way they actually provide a community, I think when people actually do reach out, they get more than just the food. You know, they get the moral support. They get the sense that people care. And you would have met Brendan before, Laura, I'm sure.
And when you go
into those agencies, it's sort of almost like a relief that other people are doing it tough as well, that we're in it together. And the care of the people in those agencies is really extraordinary. And so sometimes when people reach out, it's sort of like, oh, why didn't I do that a long time ago? Because other people are doing it tough. I can relate to people here, and the you know, people like the Salvos or some of the church groups or other missions, they've also got other support structures, whether it's counselling or whether it's mental health help or programs to be back involved in the community are really quite extraordinary. So the food is just the start, actually.
Those agencies, because we provide food to the agencies that have a food program, and that's one of the wonderful things about it, the wraparound services. And so if we provide the food to those agencies, it's part of what we do. They're not then going and having to buy the food, and they can employ more to provide those services, those wraparound services.
I know I asked before about the way things have changed during the pandemic, but given that the hospitality industry has been hit so hard during this time, how has that impacted you? Did it mean that you actually had more food being sent your way, or is it working against you?
There are multiple different effects. So at the start, when a lot of organisations shut down, for instance, when the Grand Prix was stopped, all the food from the Grand Prix was given to Second Bite and then taken to agencies around St Kilda and Melbourne. And the people who had been working at the Grand Prix who were gutted that that was stopped, that was about the best thing. That was the thing they could all talk about. So when the MCG stopped having crowds, Spotless and Epicure donated all the food in the fridges to Second Bite. So that's one angle. And then other agencies, what was happening was because the supermarkets were running out of food, our food supplies went down. And so the federal government, state governments and Coles all stepped up to give us money to actually buy food. So we were actually, for the first time in the 15 years of Second Bite's history, we actually bought food so that we could get it to the agencies. At the same time, a lot of the little agencies who rely on older volunteers who had to social distance and stay at home couldn't then get the food out to their people, so that we then had to change our model to deliver food. So it's just turned everything on its head, and like many organisations, Second Bite and the little agencies have adapted, and incredibly supported by governments and major businesses like Coles and Woolworths and philanthropy, where people, you know, the fundraising program that Coles runs each year, the donations are up because ordinary Australians get it and are giving more to make sure that their fellow Australians have got food on their table.
That's so good to hear. And I know I've heard it from so many different parts of society that everyone is scrambling to reinvent themselves behind the scenes at the moment to try and make things work. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. And in these challenging times, Tobin Brothers offer a range of very practical solutions to help you plan a funeral and pay tribute to your loved one. For more information, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. And more with Ian and Simone from Second Bite in just a moment.
This morning we serve 46 people breakfast to see how things go full circle. What we do at Coles and how we give so much food by donation to Second Bite, and then Second Bite redistribute that to places like St Mary's, where we are here in Fitzroy. It's pretty beautiful, you know, to see not only the meal, but everything that's created around the meal. The smiling faces, the kindness, the friendliness.
Love is in the air.
Love is in the air.
We serve about 49,000 meals a year here, and the kitchens start to connect us with people that can come in at a hungry, give them something to eat, feel warm, safe, and then talk, and we can start them on the next journey. So the Second Bite relationship and with Coles is really important.
There's no way of me getting food other than coming to St Mary's.
Food is terrific. It's the best food in town.
Nice to meet you. They heard me. There was a mad Scotsman in the kitchen.
No, that's me, mate.
That's good.
I think the kitchen for Dougie is his pride of place, but he's very proud of what he does, and he talks about his mystery box every day where he's got a pile of food from Second Bite, try to to work out what the menu is to be nutritious. And for Dougie to have a chef with him like Curtis today was really special. And for the clients, I think the whole mood was just excited today.
Coles and Second Bites collaboration have created 80 million meals. We don't want to stop. We want to do even more. So we've developed these little donation cards. You can give $2 and you get one of these cards that, by the way, you get to write your name on and stick it up in store. But the $2 will turn into 10 meals with Second Bite. And I'm going out to buy a bunch of them because seeing what I saw this morning changes everything.
We'd like particularly to thank our master chefs and all our wonderful volunteers.
Welcome back to Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals Celebrating Lives. We just heard from Chef Curtis Stone there and some of the volunteers and patrons at St Mary's House in Fitzroy who are enjoying a delicious meal made with ingredients from Second Bite during the 2019 Coles and Second Bite Winter Appeal. Our guests tonight are Ian and Simone Carson, founders of the national food rescue organisation Second Bite. Ian and Simone, well, Ian, let's start with you. Just hearing those voices in that little soundbite there of talking about how much they love the meals, how good quality it was, the best meals around, that really is so heartwarming, isn't it, to hear that?
We're lucky. We've got jobs. Every time we go to Second Bite or an agency, and you see not only the people who need support, but the people who are there at the coalface, it just makes you shiver, right, up your spine, the goodness of people and how much it's appreciated. Every time I go to one of the agencies or Second Bite, I feel as though we're, you know, helping lives. And there's, you know, in some ways it's quite a selfish thing because you feel so good that you're doing something. And in fact, it's an interesting thing that, you know, a lot of people during this COVID crisis feel a bit helpless and want to help and feel as though they should be doing something. So often it's great to be able to connect people in to just help in a small way. I had a colleague who was leaving Australia to go back to Canada, and he rang me and said, "Look, we've got our whole kitchen. Can we give it to Second Bite?" And so I got him to actually go down to the Salvation Army, and they took down 3 boxes of food, and the Salvation Army, you know, cooked it that day. The chap who did it felt, you know, as though he was making a difference, and it was just, there were wonderful stories happening in communities, you know, within blocks of where we all live every day.
I love that. And I love hearing from Curtis Stone there as well. We've had him on this program. He's such a lovely man and so good at what he does. And it's so great to see people of his profile rolling their sleeves up and getting involved in what you guys do as well. Simone, was that something that you aimed to do when you in the origins of Second Bite, was to get those big names?
We had no idea that it would become Australia-wide and the organisation that it is, has become. You know, there was a lot of talk when we started around beginning to talk about the environment, but not a lot of talk about nutrition, and not a lot of talk about food waste, not a lot of talk about the need out there in the community. People with profiles help provide that sharing of the information, the growing of the story. So they've been very helpful. Curtis has been amazing. So has Matt Preston. And there are lots of people who, Ian Kovar, lots of people who from the early days have felt a connection to what we're trying to do and are happy to talk about it in their day-to-day life. So we didn't expect that these people would want to be involved or would be involved, but it always has been very heartwarming how many people have understood what we've been trying to do and have helped.
You guys have got warehouses in Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, Adelaide, Perth, and your partner organisations in Tassie and the NT. That is just incredible. I want to know now, Simone, how did this start? Were you always conscious of food waste, or where did this come from?
Well, it's a conversation we'd had always had in our house, and Ian and I talked about this a lot. Ian was particularly focused on waste. I had been particularly focused on the link between nutrition and health. I have a nursing background, and trained and worked at the Children's Hospital, where you see a lot of families who struggle around some of these issues and we're living, you know, week to week, and not a lot of understanding about that link between, you know, nutrition and good health. So when the government in Victoria introduced the Good Samaritan Act, it gave us an opportunity to think, well, maybe we could do something. We knew that there was a lot of food being wasted. We, you know, shopped at the Karam Market, and we knew that that food was thrown out when there was a big gap between the days that they were open. We went to a lot of events, and Ian had asked someone once when we were there, you know, what are you going to do with this food? And they said, we have to throw it out because we're not allowed to give it away. And then we thought, well, this is something that we could do. And we started at, I think you know the story, we started at the restaurants in the city, and then we went to Param Market. And we just got our friends involved, and it grew from there. People understood straight away what we were trying to do, and we got a lot of help.
As you mentioned, you went to the market stalls. Were they, was there any hesitation, or were they happy to help from the get-go?
Oh, we have lovely stories from Pram. We still have a very strong relationship with our markets throughout Melbourne, actually. No, they used to give to local communities, but they stopped giving because they were worried that they might get into trouble or be sued for giving away food and then somebody got sick. So we were able to say, well, there's the Good Samaritan Act in place now, so you can give in good faith. If you give us good food, we will move it quickly and safely to a place like St Mary's House of Welcome or Sacred Heart Mission, which is what we did as a family and with our friends. And they went around and told all the other markets and the other stallholders to give to us. They were very trusting. We turned up and said, we've got this little organisation, we want to move. We know there are people out there who need it. We're happy to be the go-between, the bridge. So would you be interested in helping? And they gave from the beginning and continued to support us.
And Ian, where did those first donations go? Was it to St Mary's, or what was the first place to help you pass that food on?
That's a great question. Well, we didn't even know whether the agencies wanted the food, actually, when we started. So we had a very close friend who was helping the women's refuge at the Sacred Heart Mission, Carolyn Clark, and we asked her. She put us on to the head of the mission in St Kilda, in Grey Street, St Kilda, and he said, yes, we'd love the food. And we said, well, we're going to get it on a Saturday afternoon. And he said, we'll give you a key to our our fridges and our kitchen. So we used to go from the Paran Market with, you know, 5 boxes or 10 boxes of fruit and vegetables, and with our key, which they trusted us to the whole Sacred Heart Mission, and we'd go down there at 5 o'clock, you know, in winter in the dark, and we'd open up the fridges, mm-hmm. and we'd pile the boxes of cabbages and lettuces and oranges into the fridge at the Sacred Heart Mission, and then we'd lock it up, and then the next Sunday morning they'd come in and they'd cook it up for lunch. So the Sacred Heart Mission was the very first place we took the food to. And in fact, even before that, Becco restaurant in Melbourne would make soup, and Alistair Patterson would take it down to from Becco down to the Sacred Heart Mission. So that was the first agency in St Kilda.
I love hearing that. That's just so good to hear so many people involved and doing such good things for the people who need it and for their nutrition as well. Ian, what was your biggest challenge in the beginning? What was the biggest hurdle to get over to get this off the ground?
That's a great question, Laura. Look, it was really funny because we knew that there was wasted food and we knew that there were people in need. The biggest challenge was just to get people to understand it. You know, we sort of worked it out pretty quickly, and then you'd explain to people and they'd go, oh, well, you know, I don't quite understand. So it's quite interesting the biggest challenge was to explain the need, to convey the message, and to get it on the radar. And it just took a long time to do that. People tend to want to know that, you know, you've got support, you're reputable. So it was like you know, as someone said to me the other day, you've got to kiss a lot of frogs. And, you know, we just had to be persistent and have hundreds of conversations. And, you know, to get Coles on board, originally we'd had a couple of years of talking to Coles and Woolies and the big supermarkets. And, you know, they're such complex organisations. And then the staff said to Coles, we want to do something. And so Coles then came to us. So it was just to get people to think about it. You know, people have got a lot in their lives. So to get it onto the radar, and it's very exciting now that it's such a mainstream issue, to hear the Prime Minister announce funding for Second Bite, Food Bank and OzHarvest was really wonderful that it's such a mainstream cause now.
Just to add to what Ian said, just to make it clear that a lot of that challenge was that people find it difficult to understand that there was a need in a country like Australia. I think it was sort of insidious in a way that there is such a call out for this type of organisation. There's a few organisations around the country who collect food, but we all do it slightly differently. And we all could be doing more. There's a call out for more food even before this crisis. So I think people have found that very challenging to understand, given we're such a lucky country and the good producers, that there is a need there. I think people could see the waste, but they hadn't really been sure that there was somewhere for the food to go.
That's a really good point. I can imagine even your own next door neighbour, you might live in a middle class, you know, or wealthy street and have no idea that the people next to you actually, you know, need this assistance. Well, this is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. And in these challenging times, Tobin Brothers offer a range of very practical solutions to help you plan a funeral and pay tribute to your loved one. For more information, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. And more with Ian and Simone Carson from Second Bite in just a moment.
You're listening to Great Australian Lives with Laura Turner for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Hi, I'm Matt Preston. Welcome to this Ending Waste, Ending Hunger update from Second Bite. Many major food brands have been pitching in to ensure more people and families in need have pantry and freezer options for putting tasty, healthy and enjoyable meals on the table. We've Vetta pasta, rice from Lloyd's Foods, PFD Foods pork ribs, or Beaton Johnson pork sausages. Then there are pies, hash browns and frozen peas from Simplot, Sandhurst marinated vegetables and salad dressings from Master Foods. Simfresh have added to our fruit options, delivering 22 tonnes of their freshly picked oranges, mandarins and lemons each week. While for a little treat, Sara Lee have donated desserts like apple crumbles, red velvet cheesecakes and pecan twist pies, and Buller are donating their iconic choc tops. For those on the run, Beat Johnson are supplying nutritious ready meals like butter chicken, chili con carne and bolognese. There are mac and cheese baits and beef lasagnas from McCain Foods and South Indian curries and Korean chicken amongst the ready meals donated by Strength Meal Company. We thank all these great brands for giving us more options to help families in these tough, tough times. Stay safe, stay connected. Speaks.
Well, Matt Preston there with an incredible update on the business donating to Second Bite. You're listening to Great Australian Lives, and our guests tonight are Ian and Simone Carson, founders of the national food rescue organisation Second Bite, which is helping so many people across our nation, especially right now. We've been talking about how it all began, but I want to know, Simone, first of all, with you, where did you grow up? What kind of a girl were you? I know you said you have a nursing background. Was that your initial career path?
It was, actually. I grew up in Melbourne, not far from where I'm sitting now, and I went to an all-girls Catholic school. When I finished, I knew that I wanted to do something in the health sector, and I started my training at the Children's Hospital. And that is probably was one of the greatest influences in how and what we've been doing more recently, to see there's an area that you are sent, a segment of your nursing training where you're sent out into the community, and I realise how many people in the community are being cared for and are really struggling. You know, within two streets, every second house had someone who was being looked after by someone else, and they were doing it hard. And then by the nature of those of the care that's provided in a big public hospital, you see people coming in who have great need. Also, I was very aware of, obviously, the link between good nutrition, regular access to good nutrition, and health.
I don't know if you were from a big family or not, Simone, but over the years, have you seen the way that food waste is dealt with in your own home? And are we doing it better now compared to when you grew up? I know you probably would be.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're not perfect. We try hard. Without question, my parents separated when I was quite young, and I was brought up by a single mum. But my grandmother, the big influence on me, and she came from a farming family where there was never any waste. You know, she had the big tub of fat collected from the roast on the weekend, and that was used again and again and again. And she never bought food. She cooked everything from scratch. And she was a working woman and a big provider of care for myself and my brother. It was just my brother and I and my mum in an era where it was tough being a single woman on your own, raising a couple of kids. And so my grandmother helped a lot. But to see how careful she was when she went through the war and she grew up on the farm, she understood what it took to produce food. And without question, that had some influence on me.
Yeah, I can imagine. Ian, did you grow up in Melbourne as well? Did you have a similar upbringing?
Yes, I grew up in Surry Hills. The biggest thing in my life was that my parents just would save every single thing. We had a vegetable garden. My parents worked in the garden every weekend. We all worked in the garden. We grew the sweet corn. We grew the potatoes. And nothing got wasted. So I think it's the Scott in me that just absolutely hates waste. And sometimes you talk to different people in the community, and I don't think there's anyone I've ever met who doesn't hate waste. And so that's one thing that does resonate, and that's what resonated. If you talk to people who work in restaurants or food stores, they really hate seeing stuff thrown out, and that's been something that people have captured, and so that was what really drove me, the waste. And to think that around the world, one third of all the food which is grown is thrown away, one third of all the food, and it just makes me sick to think about that. And you know, there's so much more to be done about the waste, which, in fact, if they saved all the food that's wasted, no one in the world would be hungry.
Have you got children, Ian?
Yes, we've got three children, and they've all...
How did you feel when they were young and you would cook them? And I guess this is a question for you too, Simone, when you would go to all the lengths of cooking them beautiful meals and they would just throw it at you and on the floor, because that is my biggest bugbear.
I mean, the good thing is that we've always done this as a family, and our kids understand the food wastage, so they're pretty good. I remember, you know, growing up as a child, and my mother would say, do not waste that food. Think of the starving kids in Africa. So at least I listened to one thing that my mother told me.
That very phrase, I chant the same thing.
Yeah, so did mine.
We must all have had it drummed into us.
But a lot of kids, you know, I think they're much more aware of some of these issues. And with social media, people can see things which are going on. So I'm quite heartened by the next generation. I think that they're very socially aware, and they want to make a difference in communities.
Well, this is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. And in these challenging times, Tobin Brothers offer a range of very practical solutions to help you plan a funeral and pay tribute to your loved one. For more information, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. And more with Ian and Simone Carson from Second Bite in just a moment.
You're listening to Great Australian Lives with Laura Turner for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Well,
welcome back to Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Tobin Brothers now offer fully live streamed services so that anyone who could not attend the funeral of a loved one can still view the service and participate. For more information, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Our guests tonight on Great Australian Lives are Ian and Simone Carson, founders of the national food rescue organisation Second Bite. Now, Simone, I want to know from you, there'll be people listening tonight who want to help. How can they?
Thanks, Laura. It's a great question. There's many ways people can help. So if they feel financial support is always welcome in an organisation like ours, a not-for-profit, and you can donate online or you can donate in your local call store when they are running those programs. But there are many other ways that people can help as well. So we often tell our friends and family members when they have food that they've grown in their backyard and they've got extra supplies of lemons, limes, oranges or vegetables, to take it to somewhere. Take it down to their local organisation. You know, around where I live, it's Paran Mission, Sacred Heart Mission, who have food programs, the local church organisation. There are lots of community organisations that have food programs there. So that's one way that people can help, particularly during these quite difficult times. There are ways you can volunteer. At the moment, most organisations are not able to take volunteers, but that will change. Volunteering will be easy again very soon, I hope. So keep an eye on websites and that will open up. It's a wonderful opportunity. And then people who perhaps are in the industry of growing food or transporting food, we're a logistics organisation. We often need support with logistics. We need more food. So, you know, if you're a grower and rather than seeing your crop or your food, you know, thrown out or piled back into the ground, think about offering it to an organisation such as ours. And all that information is on our website.
Volunteers would be so important to you guys, wouldn't they? I mean, you mentioned before how hard it hit you when COVID came into effect and a lot of people had to sort of say, I can't volunteer anymore. But I can imagine in a normal world, they're your lifeblood.
We've relied on volunteers significantly since the organisation began. We've had groups of volunteers who collect at Paran Market and South Melbourne Market every single week since the organisation, or almost since the organisation began. And obviously we've had to move to a different group of volunteers. They're actually still collecting down there, but we've moved away from Melbourne Rotary. We have volunteers that come in and help in the warehouse, the sorting of the food and moving it into the boxes that are then put into the trucks and transported. We have volunteers that help in the office. We have volunteers that help with fundraising. There's an enormous number of ways that you can volunteer. We have corporate volunteering opportunities as well. But that's just all on hold at the moment because of the current situation.
Ian, I can imagine you would have some real characters. It would be like a family, wouldn't it, at Second Bite? You'd have some real characters helping you out.
That's such a fantastic question because, I mean, one of the great things that Second Bite's done and other agencies have done is we've had people who've actually been recipients at some of the agencies who have been really down on their luck, who through the agencies have then ended up being working at Second Bite. So at the Salvation Army, often it's people who've come in who are homeless, who've then engaged with the Salvation Army, then become helpers, and then become workers. So actually, the whole not-for-profit sector, particularly in this area, can help people to get back on their feet and help in the agency. We've had incredible supporters, as Simone mentioned, like Ian Cover, who's got half the Geelong Football Club involved to help us. Cameron Ling was an ambassador. So it's really incredible when you get people who get it and then bring their network into it. Katie Barfield was our first general manager, and she was a dynamo who really got the organisation going. She went on to develop a food rescue app. So that the communities and the networks and the characters are a big part of it.
I can imagine having those big names involved would be so helpful for the brand and also just more hands on deck. You must be so proud of where you've come from.
Well, it's great when you talk about a national food rescue agency. You know, when we started, it was just the Volvo station wagon on a Saturday afternoon, and then to think that the organisation, through many, many people, has got better and people have understood the need. And I really liked what Simone said about, you know, people just aren't aware of how much hunger there is out there. People don't, it's not as mainstream an issue as some issues. And now it's great that people understand the need and understand the wastage. And to think that this year, Second Bite will rescue enough food for up to 50 million meals is really scary when you think of the need in society.
Ian, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Laura, we've loved being part of it. Good on you for what you do. It's such a great program. Thank you.
And Simone, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for what you do.
I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to come and share the story, and I really enjoy listening to your podcast.
That's so good to hear. Thank you. And if you're listening tonight and you want to donate or you want to volunteer, visit secondbite.org or search them on social media. If you've enjoyed our chat with Ian and Simone Carson from Second Bite tonight and you'd like to share it with a friend or listen again, subscribe to the podcast. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives, and in these challenging times, Tobin Brothers offer a range of very practical solutions to help you plan a funeral and pay tribute to your loved one. For more information, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. And of course, join me the same time next week when we celebrate another great Australian life.
You're listening to Great Australian Lives with Laura Turner for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.